long before podcasts, there were audiobooks, and they continue to be popular with people who are unable to read or want to consume books while on the move. In the coming weeks of self-isolation, audiobooks will be a lifeline for many people. On the line is Theo Gibson, who's the CEO and Creative Director of Audiobooks New Zealand, and one of his readers, Romy Hooper. First, though, here's Romy reading from How to Be by Brian McDibble.
Peony Pest. Today, it's here, bright and real and waiting. The knowing of it bursts into my head, so big and sudden, like the crack of morning sun busting through the gap at the top of the door. I fall out of my bunk and hit the packing box floor. I scramble up, right into Gramps asleep in his chair in front of the potbelly stove. "Jah," he growls. "Sorry, Gramps," I say. "It's B-Day."
Well, Theo and Romy, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi there. Theo, I'll start with you. Can almost any book be turned into an audio book? I have friends who are readers, and I think if there are non-fiction books, say, with pictures, part of the role is to describe the pictures, which is a skill in itself.
Yeah, it is. I mean, traditionally in audiobooks made for the general public, we wouldn't read or describe a picture unless it's kind of required to tell the story or to, you know, convey some kind of crucial bit of information. But it's very different in the way that they do it. Say, Romy does it when she works with the Blind Foundation.
What are the most popular kinds of books in New Zealand?
It's a bit of a mixture. I would say generally kind of fiction, science fiction, kind of fantasy and thrillers. Mystery does really well. And then also business books do quite well as well.
Business books. Goodness.
Yes. Yes, everyone loves a good business book. How to sell things.
So as part of your role, Theo, I mean, we've just been listening to a radio drama, you know, with using actors. Is part of your job finding the right voice for the right project, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, traditionally, whether we're kind of making the book under the Audiobooks NZ umbrella or someone's kind of commissioned us to do a book, We'll talk with the author about, you know, how they envision the voice of that book being made, and we'll go out and kind of scour our talent base for someone who fits the criteria of that author generally, and then we all kind of put our heads together and have a listen and make sure that's the right voice for this to convey the story, and away we go.
And your readers, of course, they're going to need more than just a technically good voice.
Yes. Yeah, it's quite an art form reading a book, and it's a lot harder than most people would think, especially when you're recording for a long period of time in a studio with just your sort of producer on the other end of the line giving you feedback. But generally we like to work with people who have an acting background, who are used to doing a lot of sight reading. And we work with people who have had as much experience as possible, really.
Romy, how did you get involved?
Hello. I was, with audiobooks NZ particularly, I've been audiobook reading for the Blind Foundation for about 6 years or so. So I contacted Theo when I heard that audiobooks NZ was a thing, because I hadn't really, obviously we know a lot about Audible. We know of that as a huge global entity, but in terms of how many Kiwi titles they actually have or produce or Kiwi narrators that they would actually be prepared to use, it was really exciting to learn that we were doing that here. I basically just approached Theo, and he was like, "Great, good to know that you're around. As soon as we've got a title that we think might suit your voice, characters or perspectives that the author's written from that would suit, then come on in."
Done any business books, Romy?
Oh, goodness me. I haven't done any business books for Audiobooks NZ in particular, no. But I have done quite a few reference books for the Blind Foundation, because obviously, when it comes to study materials and things like that, there's a lot of content out there.
Well, how do you approach that? Because, I think that's a big challenge, actually, doing something like a reference book.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, with me and with regards to that job at the Blind Foundation, I think, particularly because it's for vision impaired people, in my opinion, the job that you're, the job of the voice is to make the book sound as much like a film as possible, or to be as cinematic as possible. So obviously, when you have characters that you can voice, that's a lot easier. If you're reading the entire history of the New Zealand Land Wars, obviously, you know, I think the biggest key is to make sure that diction and articulation are like 100% vital on those projects, because obviously, if people are going to be referencing them in their work or anything like that, then it all has to be 100% accurate. So for me, I think, I mean, we also aren't really allowed to record any longer than 3 hours because the voice does start to tire and it's quite noticeable. So I think if you've got a decent sort of three, four-hour chunk where you can just actually be completely activated and really, you know, have a bit of a smile in your voice and stuff, and just try and make that kind of content as sort of accessible and hearable as possible, I suppose.
You've got also that issue if you're doing a work of fiction, I guess, of those different voices and accents, which again is just to remind us that it's a very different thing to something like a radio drama.
Totally, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in a lot of my, so many of our titles, as Theo was saying, have been, you know, we've had the mass influx of everyone being really excited about fantasy and sci-fi and things. So one of the sort of hardest things, particularly with that, is that you've got these made-up world names and these made-up character names and things. So I often just sort of look, sift through the book as much as I can and get a kind of notion of who the goodies and who the baddies are, pretty much, and then can sort of assign variations of accents in accordance with that, you know what I mean? But it does take a bit of time and a bit of research to make sure that what you're actually going to start with is going to work throughout the entire length of the book, you know.
Theo, we've just got a few seconds, but we mentioned the New Zealand Blind Foundation, clearly a big user of audiobooks. Do you get a big range of people enjoying them?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we've got about somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 members now. So ultimately, it's really interesting to sort of go, okay, wow, so there's a bunch of sci-fi and fantasy that's come through recently, so that maybe means that we've had a bit of a spike in younger members.